بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن ولا إلى يوم الدين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, I begin in the name of Allah. We praise Him, we ask His help, we seek His forgiveness, and may the peace and blessings of Allah, the one true creator of all that exists, be upon His most noble messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a long line of messengers, beginning with Noah, following on to Abraham, following on to Moses, and to David, and to Jesus, finishing and finally with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may the peace and blessings be upon him, his family, and his companions, all together, and those who follow them in righteousness up until the day of judgment. And I bear witness that nothing has the right to be given ibadah, worship, except the one true creator, sustainer, Lord of all that exists, who we refer to as Allah. And I bear witness that he has no partners. And I also bear witness that Muhammad is indeed his slave and messenger. Now, a few years ago, I gave a lecture. This was not long after the Danish cartoons, which I'm sure all of you are quite aware of, came out disparaging and completely slandering the character of our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this lecture, my intent was to counteract or disprove some of these false accusations and slanders that were being spread about our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in my attempt to do so, I, you know, related the slander or the lie or the misgiving about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then attempted to disprove it. And I thought I had done a fairly good job. After the lecture, a woman came to me and she said to me first, you know, you spent a lot of time telling us who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not, but you did not spend very much time telling us who he was. And subhanallah, I realized the gravity and the depth of my mistake. So she asked me, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who is Muhammad? And you have to understand the psychology and the context of the question. She did not want to know who he was as reference to his name or as an entitlement, such as he is ar-Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. He is Khatab al-Nabi'een, the seal of all prophets. He is Rahmatul lil-Alameen. He is a mercy unto all the world. He is a da'yan illallah bi idnihi wa sirajan munira, a caller to Allah by Allah's permission, giving a beautiful light. She didn't want these entitlements. She wanted to know the context of the man. She wanted to know who was the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how can that have any meaningful purpose to me? So I was at a conundrum, let's say at the least, because this is something that was perplexing to me, in the sense that I couldn't give her, you know, another hour or 2 hour lecture. She wanted something short, sweet, simple, and to the point. And this was in an informal manner. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I define such a great man, a man who has so much meaning to me and so much meaning to Muslims all over the world? How can I define this great man in such a short amount of time, and at the same time give it justice? So I gave her some things and she thanked me and walked away. But later on, I started to think to myself, who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to me? How can I define such a great man in a way that will give me some benefit, but also that is as simple and short and sweet to the point to be able to relay it to other people, or to use that definition to help me be a better Muslim or a better da'i in some way, form, or fashion, or anything that I'm trying to be better at? How can I use that definition of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to in turn make me a better whatever it is? So on the long flight back home, I began to think about this. Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who is he? Who is he to me? Not the entitlements, but who is the man? Who is the messenger? Who is the prophet that we are supposed to love more than we love our own selves? Who is this man to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I thought about it for quite some time. And you know, this is one of the greatest ni'mas that and blessings and favors I think I have been given. Ever since I have been given the blessings of guidance to Islam 13 years ago, was that when I was able to define for myself in some short statements and short epithets of who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only did I find who he was to me and define this great man and messenger to the world, but in that attempt, what I really ended up finding and defining was myself. Subhanallah. I ended up finding who I was. I ended up defining my own life. I ended up defining my own character to the best extent of it. And this is what I would like to give to you today, inshallah ta'ala. You know, what I'm going to try to paint for you in the next few moments is a beautiful picture. And I want to get your mind working with this analogy that I'm going to give you a connect the dot puzzle. And if any of you have ever done connect the dots, or you've ever watched your children do connect the dots, you know that connect the dots is a picture that has numbered dots on it. And if you start with number one and follow the dots in numerical order until the end, what you will come up with in the end is a picture representing those dots and lines. Now, if you incorrectly connect those dots, what will you have? You will have a distorted picture that is not truly representative of the intended meaning. Or if you don't connect the dots whatsoever, you will never really clearly see the picture. And when it comes to this deen of al-Islam, we as Muslims, as an ummah, have taken this deen, which if we give the analogy of connect the dot puzzle, and have on many instances, in many occasions with many things, connected the dots improperly, out of order. And we have painted a distorted picture of Islam in our lives and to the world. Or we have just failed to connect the dots whatsoever. Therefore, we really don't know what Islam is ourselves, nor are we able to convey that message to the world. And what I want to do today is to paint this beautiful picture for you with a connect the dot analogy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest human being to ever walk the face of this earth from the beginning of time to the end of time. And I'm only going to give you a few dots, but I believe these few dots will in turn give you a better definition of who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forget about what the news media says, forget about what magazines say, forget about what any media source may tell you about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any pastor or preacher or whatever it has. We are going to use the very clear information we have from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give you, our viewers at home, the real identity of this man, and for all of our Muslim brothers and sisters out there, so that you can in turn define yourself, and for all of our non-Muslim audience members and guests, you can see the greatness of a man who simply was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now we're going to begin at the beginning with dot number one. Dot number one takes place when Muhammad, peace be upon him, is at the age of 40. He is already known amongst his people, the Meccans, as a very trustworthy and honest person. They have given him the nickname Al-Amin, which means the trustworthy one or the truthful one. He is known as someone who is very kind and righteous and defends the need of the poor, and he takes care of the orphans, and he is very in tune with being a gracious person altogether, a well-rounded individual. But at the age of 40, and this story is narrated to us by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself, at the age of 40, he was meditating in a cave right outside the city boundaries of Mecca in a mountain that is known as the cave of Hira, in the mountain which is now known as Jabal Nur, which means the mountain of light. He said, I was in this mountain and meditating in a cave by myself. And all of a sudden, a figure appeared to me with a bright light. And this figure said to me, Iqra, read, recite. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I was startled, and I responded to the figure in front of me, I do not know how. I don't know how to read. I don't know what you want me to recite. And then the command came again, Iqra, and the angel squeezed him and let him go. And the Prophet again replied, I don't know how. And then the third time, the angel said, Iqara, and responded to him by saying, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلقه. خلق الإنسان من علقه. Read in the name of your Lord who created man from a drop of congealed blood. Read in your Lord is most bounteous. He taught man that which did not know by the use of the pen. Very beautiful few statements to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of what he is supposed to be reciting or reading. And these were the first revelations of what become to be known as the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all that exists. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person or the figure introduced himself to me. He said, I am Jibreel or Gabriel, the messenger from your creator to all of the messengers of the creator. Then he said, he introduced me to my Lord. He introduced Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his Lord. He said, your Lord is Allah who has created you and who has commanded you to worship him alone with tawheed, with oneness. And then the angel Gabriel or Jibreel alayhi salam, peace be upon him, said, I also am going to introduce you to yourself. That you, O Muhammad, peace be upon you, have been chosen by Allah, the creator of all that exists, to be his last and final messenger to humanity. So Jibreel introduced himself to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He introduced him to his Lord, and he introduced him to himself, defining him. He said, then the same way that the angel came, the angel left me. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was left by himself. He was left alone, and he became very perplexed. He became very confounded and dumbfounded as to what am I supposed to do with what just happened? How do I define what just happened to me? Was it real? Was it imaginary? Was it a dream? Because you have to understand, dear brothers and sisters and our guests, that the weight that had just been given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the weight of the final revelation of Allah to humanity. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَالِ لَرَأَيْتَهُمْ خَشِئًا مُتَصَدِّئًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ أَمْثَلُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. That had this revelation, this Quran, been revealed to a mountain, you would have seen that mountain humble itself out of the fear of Allah. Even the mountains would have not have wanted to bear the weight of this burden, of this beautiful revelation, the final revelation to humanity. And this was just placed upon the shoulders of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he felt the weight, he felt the burden. So he decided to leave and run home to his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. And on the way home, just to reinforce what had happened, he said that Jibreel appeared across the sky, standing on the horizon, and said to me, O Muhammad, you are indeed the messenger of Allah, and I am Gabriel. SubhanAllah. To remind him, this wasn't a dream, this wasn't a vision, you saw this, it is real. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it home to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, he told her what had happened. And she responded by saying to him, you are a man who Allah would never disgrace with madness. You take care of the poor. You look after the orphans. You are Al-Amin, the truthful one. You care about the rights of humanity. You are pious. You are upright. Allah would never disgrace a person like you. SubhanAllah. So then Khadija radiallahu anha believed in him and in his message. And she went to her cousin, Waraq ibn Nawfal, who was a man who had studied the former scriptures, the Torah and the Injil, or the Gospel of Isa or Jesus, peace be upon him, in the original languages, in the languages that were existent at that time. She went to her cousin and told him what had happened to her husband. And Waraqa said to her, indeed, your husband has been visited by the same angel that visited Moses, the same angel that visited Jesus. He is indeed the messenger of Allah to his people. And he has been chosen by Allah to be the messenger to humanity. The last and final messenger that we see prophesied in the Torah, that we see prophesied in the Gospel. And he believed in his message. And then Waraqa saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sometime later. and he told him something very auspicious, some dubious and auspicious news. And it wasn't the greatest news. He told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and at this time Waraqah had become an old man. He had lost his sight. He was blind. He told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "I wish that I was a young man. I wish that I was a young man so that I could be beside you to support you when your people throw you out." And the Prophet, peace be upon him, could not grasp this idea at this moment. You have to understand, dear brothers and sisters and our guests, that the asabiyya or the tribalism that existed amongst the pre-Islamic Arabs was so severe that tribesmen or kindred or family members would defend one another even in the attempt of a sin, that it was so important that I defend the members of my family even if they are wrong. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying to Waraqah, "Will they throw me out?" And Waraqah told him, "Have no doubt about this. No one came with what you came with except that their own people were the first to throw them out." So he was giving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam some news of what to be prepared for in the coming future when he began his preaching to his people. This is dot number one. This is how it all began. In the beginning, where Allah is telling the Prophet, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," read in the name of your Lord who created man from a drop of blood. This is where it all started, dear brothers and sisters. Now, the second dot happens just a little bit later. After this initial revelation, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that no more revelations came. It was just this one initial revelation, and then there was a period of time where the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not see Gabriel again. He did not hear from Gabriel. He did not hear any more of the message of the Quran. And so such a length of time passed where he became very worried that maybe it really was a dream. Maybe it really didn't happen. What am I supposed to do? He became very perplexed. And then one day he went out and he was so worried that he decided to go and clear his head. And he went out to walk in the desert. And he said, "As I was walking in the desert, Jibril or Gabriel, peace be upon him, appeared in the sky again and frightened me and said, 'I am Jibril, and you are indeed the messenger of Allah. Have no doubt about that. It was not a vision. It was not a dream. You have not lost your mind. I am indeed Gabriel, and you are indeed the messenger of Allah.'" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he ran home to his wife Khadijah radiallahu anha, and he told her, "Dhaminuni, cover me up, wrap me up. I think I'm going crazy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next." And so Khadija radiallahu anha wrapped her husband in a blanket. And in this condition of being wrapped up, Allah, the creator of all that exists, the sustainer and cherisher and lord of all creation, revealed the next verse or verses or surah or chapter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah told him, "Ya ayyuhal mudathir, all you who is wrapped up in the mantle, qum fa'andir. Get up and warn your people. Get up and warn the people and magnify and glorify your Lord and purify your garments and stay away from the idols." Subhanallah. Now comes the command to act. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had been contemplating what to do with this message, and now the call to action comes. Qum, get up, fa'andir, and warn the people, and magnify your Lord and purify your garments and stay away from the idols. So now the imperative call to action comes. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got up. He knew there was no more time for rest. There was no more time for contemplating. There was no more time for wondering what to do. He needed to go warn his people about his creator. He needed to go warn his people about their creator, and that their creator is one true God of all that exists. Their creator is going to cause them to die and resurrect them and judge them and grant them eternal paradise or grant them eternal detriment depending on what they have done in this life. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from this moment until the moment he breathed his last breath on this earth, this is what he did. Qum fa'andir. He got up and warned the people about Allah. He got up and warned the people that your Lord is one. Worship him alone. Do right. Respect your parents. Respect the orphans. Take care of the poor. Give the right of everyone. Every human being has their rights under the Creator. This became the identity of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasqum fa'andhir. And if you think this is not true, I dare any of you, I challenge any of you, go and find for me one authentic statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he was teaching the message of Allah. That statement was not in an attempt to discharge the duty of qum fa'andhir. This became his life worry. This is what kept him sleepless at night. This is what made him so grateful and serious to Allah, was he knew that he had a duty to convey the message of one God to the world, to convey the message of worship of one God to the world. This became his life worry. This became his identity. This is the identity of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters and respected guests. Now, if I wanted to just finish with this and say that's it, then I would have done my job, because this is the identity of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that he was a man that was concerned about discharging the duty of kum fa'andhir to the world, of arising and warning the world to worship the one true God of all that exists, and that there is going to come a day where you are going to stand in front of him and give account for your actions. But I intend to be very thorough. So inshallah, when we come back, we will continue discussing the other few points in this beautiful connect the dot picture of who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the great legacy of this man whom so many Muslims love and adore more than they love their own selves? So stay tuned. We'll be right back. So I just want you to know that we're out there and we're real people. And we believe in something that is far, far, far greater than anything you've ever seen on TV, anything you've ever read about in any book about Islam. It's far greater than that. It's far more beautiful than that. God is far greater than anything you've ever tried to imagine in your mind. The mind cannot comprehend it. Cannot begin. It's like casting a drop off your fingertip in the ocean. Doesn't do justice. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a man like you've never read about. This is why we got so angry. And when they wrote these cartoons about him in Denmark, maybe a lot of us overreacted. Yes, we overreacted. But if someone insulted your mother, most of us probably would overreact, just because we love them so much. We love them so much. Because he gave us this privilege, this great way of life that has changed me from being somebody that nobody wanted to be around to somebody who now wants to be around everyone, because I want them to know where I've been and what I've come through. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to our program on who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here on One Ummah TV. We finished up by stating the identity of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reference to qum fa'andhir, arising and warning the people to worship Allah who is one and to obey him and live a beautiful life in this life and the next. Now, for the sake of brevity, and if I wanted to be completely thorough, this program would last hours upon hours upon hours upon hours, because the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is replete with so many examples of the character of the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth. I'm only going to relate a few more examples, bi'idhni Allah, with the permission of the Creator. Now, the next dot in our beautiful analogy is a situation which happened on the worst day of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's life, and the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth. This is narrated by his wife, Aisha, radiallahu anha. His wife, Aisha, May Allah be pleased with her, the person whom he loved the most in this life. She was asked after his death, what was the worst day of the Prophet's life? Was it the day that he had camel guts thrown on him while he was worshipping? Was it the day that his wife Khadija died? Was it the day his uncle, who was his supporter and his protector, died? She said, no. The worst day of the Prophet's life is the day of At-Ta'if. The day of At-Ta'if is a beautiful example of this identity of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not long after the Prophet, peace be upon him, had been preaching his message, the forces gathered against him to stop him. They called him a madman, they called him crazy, they said that he is a liar, he is a magician. So many things began to be spewed at him from the same people who used to call him Alameen. The same exact people who used to call him Alameen. And then he was outcast. They threw him and all the Muslims out of the city of Mecca and made them live in the desert. Surrounded them so they could not escape, but just threw them out for 3 years. And during this time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his most beloved partner to this time. His wife Khadija radiallahu anha died, the only wife he had had for a very long time. And he also, his uncle Abu Talib died, and his uncle had supported and protected him. He was a well-respected man inside the hierarchy of the Meccan society. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, had no supporter physically or emotionally or mentally, and he knew the wolves were gathering around to feast on him. So he decided to go to a city on the outside of Mecca known as Ta'if. It's a city known as Ta'if. He went there to give the people the message of Islam in hopes that they would either accept Islam or at least they would agree to support him and protect him and adopt him into their tribes. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, went and sat with the nobles of the people of Ta'if, and he presented to them the message of Islam, and he told them, either will you accept the message of Islam and become Muslim, or will you at least support me and protect me against my people? Now the people of Ta'if did not accept the message of Islam. Not only did they not accept the message of Islam, but they laughed at the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laughed in his face, ridiculed, mocked him, made fun of him. One of them said, if you are indeed a prophet, you're too good to be sitting amongst us. We're not that good. And if you're a liar, then we are too good to be sitting with you. So they decided to reject him, and his only wish was that they not spread the word that they had rejected him, that they had rejected Islam and they had laughed and mocked at him. But they didn't listen. They not only conveyed this message to the entire city, they told the thugs of the city to stone him out of the city, run him out, literally run him out of the city. So he was chased out of the city, being pelted with stones and rocks being thrown at him by many, many people, until it was bashing his head, bashing his face, his sides, blood began gushing and rushing, until when he had left the city, blood was pooling up in his shoes. Outside of the city, he decided to sit down in a garden, which was a garden that was owned by an orchard right outside of the city. Decided to collect himself and figure out what does he do next, because this is the worst day of his life. This is the worst day of the greatest man that ever lived on the face of the earth's life. So he decided that since he had lost his wife, he had lost his uncle, he had lost all his support, he decided to go and ask for support from the one person who could truly help him. He raised his hands in front of him and he made a prayer. He made a dua, a supplication to his creator, and said, oh my creator, would you leave me in this ignoble and detrimented state to give me over to the hands of my enemies? And if you just go and read the entire prayer of the Prophet, peace be upon him, at Ta'if, how beautiful it is. In parts of this prayer, he calls upon Allah and says, Ya Allah, if you are pleased with me, then the countenance of your face, the brightness of your glory is enough to lighten the darkest of nights. And he called upon the one who could truly help him. And when he made this call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all that exists, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, heard this prayer above his throne, above the heavens. And it was so much of a calling to him that it put Allah into action immediately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was moved to respond to this prayer of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So he called Angel Gabriel. Allah called Angel Gabriel, peace be upon him. And he called the angel that is in charge of all the mountains of the earth. And he sent them and said, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while this was taking place, while the angels were on their way to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something else very beautiful took place. The people who owned this orchard, they saw the Prophet, peace be upon him. They saw this man was in a terrible condition. They saw that he was beaten and he was bloody. So they decided to send their servant. They decided to send their servant with a plate of fruit and drink and said, go and give it to this man. He's really in need of it. So the servant, who was a man, was from the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh is the home of Jonah, or Yunus, peace be upon him. When the slave came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the servant, and he gave him the food or drink, the Prophet, peace be upon him, took it, and he said, Bismillah, before he ate. And this was not known amongst the people to say in the name of God before they ate. So the slave said, where did you get this from? Where did you get this example from? He said, I am on the guidance of my Creator, who has sent me as a messenger to humanity. And he asked the man, which is the normal procedure when you meet someone new. He asked him, where are you from? The man said, I am from Nineveh. I am from the city of Nineveh. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, then you are from the home of my brother Yunus. My brother in prophethood, Yunus, you are from the home. I have been sent from the same God of Jonah, with the same message of Jonah, which is to worship the one true God of all that exists, and to obey him and serve him, and do not disobey him in this life, and you will have peace in this life and in the next life. Subhanallah, this very simple message of Islam, La ilaha illallah, worship one God alone, serve him, obey him, avoid disobeying him, and you will have peace in this life and in the next life. When the servant heard this, when the servant heard this message, he fell down in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said to him, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I bear witness that you, or first he said, I bear witness that nothing has the right to be worshipped except the one true God, Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is indeed the slave and messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you, O Muhammad, are indeed the messenger of Allah. Subhanallah. You know what just happened, brothers and sisters and guests? Allah, the creator of all that exists, is reminding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his duty of qum fa andir, that this man at your feet right now, this man accepting the message of tawheed, of oneness of God, he is the reason that you are here. He is the reason I have sent you to bring these people to my worship, to bring these people to accepting that I am one and I should be worshipped alone. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is reminded that this is why you were here. Qum fa andir is your reason and your purpose for being. Subhanallah. Very beautiful, beautiful reminder for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now at this time, the angel Gabriel shows up with the angel who is in charge of all of the mountains. And the angel Gabriel says to the Prophet, Salamu alaykum ya Rasulullah, peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. And he introduced, this is the angel of the mountains. He said, Allah has heard your dua. Allah has heard your supplication to him. And it has moved him so much. He sees what these people have done to you, that he has sent the angel of the mountains with me. And the angel of the mountains says to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just give me the word. Just give me the okay, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will take Al-Akhshabain, the two mountains that surround this city, and I will cause them to come together and crush all of these people for what they have done to you. The creator of all that exists had made it permissible for Muhammad, peace be upon him, to get rid of all of his enemies in this city. He had said it was okay, tell the angel, destroy those people. So for those of you who may think that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man who spread a religion by the sword, by the threat of force, by death, by terror, then this story should put you back in your place. This story should put everything correctly back into perspective. Because if it had been any one of us who had been treated like this, and then the angel is telling us, you can do what you wish with them, it would have been over for those people in the city. We will be ready to fight with someone if they cut us off in traffic, if they take our parking space in the parking lot, if they look at us wrong on the subway. We're ready to act with aggression. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood his identity. He understood who he was. He understood his purpose. With qum fa'andhir, he was rahmatu lil alameen, a mercy unto the world. So what did he say to that angel? He said, no, I don't wish to destroy them. Because even if one of them, even if one of them or one of their progeny or their grandfather or their grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-great-great-grandchildren, if one person from the lineage of all of these people says, La ilaha illallah, I bear witness there's only one God worthy of worship. If only one people from amongst these people says that, then leaving them will be worth it. And he decided not to take revenge on those people. This is who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was a mercy to the world. He was someone who cared about humanity. He cared about their position in this life. He cared about their position in the next life. So destroying these people would have been detrimental to his purpose. He had a vision, and that vision was qum fa'andhir, to warn the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the truth about the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's go forward a little bit in time to the end of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Particularly, we have two more doubts. Particularly to the last year of his life, and more particularly, 9 months before the death of the greatest human being that ever walked the face of this earth. 9 months before his death, after the treaty of Hudaybiyah had been signed, which was a treaty with the Meccans so that there would be no more war or bloodshed amongst them, and that the Muslims could make Hajj or pilgrimage to the sacred house in Mecca, as was the ritual of Abraham, peace be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, stood in his mosque, on his minbar, and he said to the people, prepare yourself, because we are going to the Hajj. We're going to make pilgrimage to the sacred house of Allah in Mecca. And he gathered with him between 120 to 140,000 of his companions. And they marched from the city of Medina, going to the sacred house, built by Abraham, peace be upon him, founded by Adam, peace be upon him. And as they were going, this story that I'm going to relate to you, this dot, is the most authentic narration that we have from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The most authentic narration in the most mutawwatir of fashions, meaning related by the most people with the most chains of narrations, that it is impossible that this did not happen. The particular story I'm going to tell you is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, a very dear friend of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said, after the day of Arafat, and the day of Arafah, which Hajj, the pilgrimage, is all about Arafah. The day of Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the Islamic month, is known as Yawm al-Hajj. It's known as the day of Hajj, because this is the day that we're heading for. The Umrah that we make, the marching onto Muzdalifah, going to all of the rites of Hajj are leading up to Arafah. And on the plain of Arafah, and I'm going to set the scene for you for this story. On the plain of Arafah, what happens on that day? On that day, millions and millions of people, and at this time 140,000 people, stood on the plain of Arafah from the time of sunset I mean, to the time from the time of sunrise until the time of sunset, doing one thing, and that is raising their hands and making prayer to their Creator. That entire day is asking for your Creator to forgive you, to release you from the iniquities and sins that you have committed in this life, to forgive you and have mercy upon you. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, narrated about this day. That on this day, the Creator of all that exists descends into the lower heavens in a manner that befits His majesty, unlike His creation. And He asked all of the angels in that heaven, who are these people? Who are these people who have come here from all over the world, dirty, dusty, wearing towels, they're half naked, tired. What are they doing here? Why are they here? And of course, Allah already has the foreknowledge. The benefit is for our relation. The angels will tell Allah, Ya Allah, they're here to ask you. They're standing there asking you. And Allah will ask the angels, what are they asking me? What could these people possibly want from me to go through all of this hardship? To come to this place on this day and to ask me, what do they want? And the angels will say, Oh Allah, they are asking for your forgiveness. They are asking for your mercy. And Allah will say, I want all of you to bear witness that on this day, I have forgiven all of them, all of the sins they have committed. And then an angel will tell Allah, Oh Allah, yes, but there is one amongst them. He is very wicked. He is a fasiq. He is an evildoer on the earth. He just made it to this place by chance. It just so happened that he ended up at this place. And Allah will say to those angels, I want you to bear witness that I have forgiven him too. This is the day of Hajj where Allah forgives the sins of those who make that journey to him, who make that journey to this place to ask Allah for forgiveness. That is the day of Arafah. And after this day had finished, Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gathered us all together in front of him. And he himself said to all of those people in front of him, 140,000 people gathered in front of him, he said to them what is known as the farewell sermon, the most famous story or the most famous narration, the most authentic narration for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He began it by saying, O people, pay very close attention to my words, for I do not know whether I will be with you again on this day, at this place, after this year. He knew and had a feeling that his life was coming to an end and that he would not be here for another year to make this blessed pilgrimage. So he wanted everyone to pay close attention because he said, this might be the only time I have to tell all of you one thing like this. And the farewell sermon is so beautiful. And I humbly implore all of you to go look at it. Go to Google or Bing or whatever search engine you want and type farewell sermon of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and you will get the sermon. It lays out the beauty of Islam. The entirety of our deen is composed in these few paragraphs. How beautiful our religion is. But the point was, after every few sentences, he would look at those people gathered in front of him and he would ask them a question. He will say, you will be questioned about me one day. You will be questioned about me one day. What are you going to say? And they all responded 140,000 in unison. We will bear witness that you conveyed the message of Allah to us, kum fa'anzir, and that you gave us the most sincere of advices. And then he would say a few more sentences and ask the same question and get the same response until he came to the end of the farewell sermon. What was the last sentence of the farewell sermon? The very last sentence of the farewell sermon went like this. He looked at all of those gathered in front of him, knowing that this may be the last time he would ever see them gathered like this, knowing that his life was coming to an end. His messengership was coming to an end. He was the last messenger on earth until the day of judgment. He told all of those in front of him, those who are gathered with me here today, Convey this message to those that are not here. Convey this message to those that are not here. For truly it may be that the one who is conveyed the message to may understand it better than the one who is conveying it. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't think we truly put this dot in its proper place. I don't think we understand the importance of this day. I don't think we understand the weight, the burden of this day. I really think you need to think about this. Think about this statement. Those who are here today, pass this message on to those that are not here. For truly, it may be that the one who has conveyed the message to may understand it better than the ones who are doing the conveying. I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. And at the end, we're going to finish up the last and final point when we come back on this beautiful show about the most beautiful man to ever walk the face of the earth, the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, here on One Ummah TV. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to our beautiful program here on One Ummah TV, the legacy of Muhammad, peace be upon him. I left you with something to think about the statement of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to all of those gathered in front of him on Yawm al-Arafah, the day of Arafah, Yawm al-Hajj, the day of pilgrimage, in the last year of his life. Convey this message to those that are not here. For truly it may be that the people who hear the message conveyed to them may understand it better than those who are doing the conveying. What just happened here, brothers and sisters? The Prophet, peace be upon him, held a torch for 23 years of his life. And that torch was the torch of prophethood and messengership. And that torch had only been handed from prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet throughout history, beginning in with Noah, giving it to Abraham, giving it to Moses, to David, to Jesus. This torch was only ever entrusted into the hand of prophets and messengers. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and final messenger to humanity. So he knew that torch could not be retired. It couldn't be retired because there were still going to be people to come who would need to hear the message of Islam, who would need to hear the message of one true God to worship. So he took that torch and he handed it to this nation, the nation of Muhammad, peace be upon him. He took that torch and handed it to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was the day, dear brothers and sisters, that we gained our izzah, our dignity, our honor was given to us on that day. Because Allah says, "Kuntum khayru ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas," that you are indeed the best people chosen for mankind. Why? تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَنُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Because you command to that which is good, you forbid that which is evil, and you believe in Allah. Our dignity was given to us on that day. Why? Because we are now discharged with doing the same duty that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the messengers before him. Our قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ became our job. It became our job to convey the message of Islam to the world. We became the only nation who would ever follow in the footsteps of their messenger. Because Allah says in Surah Al-Bayyinah that the other nations, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا لَهَا مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ حُنَفَا وَيُقِّمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَذَلِكُ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. That every nation was commanded but to worship their Lord, make the religion pure for Him, establish the prayer, pay charity, and that was the right way. But for us, we were given the job, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة وموعظة الحسنة وجدلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Convey, call into the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching and argue with them in a way that is best. And you know how much dignity were we given on that day, brothers and sisters? We were given so much dignity on that day. This nation, the nation who would follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the footsteps of following Jesus and following Moses and following Abraham, we were given so much dignity that Moses, how many of you know Moses? All of you know Moses. My brothers and sisters, my guests, you all know who Moses is. Peace be upon him. Moses is one of the most favored people by Allah, the Creator. Moses was gifted with kalam from Allah, speech directly when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. This was an honor, a dignity chosen for Moses. Moses is in one of the highest ranks in paradise, leader of one of the greatest nations to ever walk the earth, the largest nations. But when Moses saw this nation, when Allah allowed him to see the creation of this nation, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him. Do you know what Moses said? Moses said, Ya Allah, make me one of them. Moses said, make me one of them. Dear brothers and sisters, your izzah is that Moses would have traded places with any one of you. Musa, peace be upon him, would have traded places with you on any given day of the week. And you're going to tell me you don't have dignity? You don't have honor? You need to walk around with your head on the ground, a frown on your face? Why? Why? When one of the greatest messengers to ever walk the face of the earth would have taken your place? Because of how much dignity and honor was given to you and was given to your prophet, peace be upon him. Subhanallah. This is the izzah of this ummah. This is why I can walk around every day with all of the news that is being spread about the terror of Islam. The Sharia is coming to destroy your way of life. The Muslims are going to kill you. Fear them. Be afraid of them. Frown at them. Spit at them. This is why I can walk around every day with that condition around me, with my head up, my shoulders back, a smile on my face. Because today I can say, I am from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I can say I am from the nation that Moses would have traded places with me on any day of the week. That is my dignity. Do you have it? Do you have it? This is what was given to us on this day, our dignity, our honor. And it's even more beautiful than all of that. Upon this statement of conveying the message of Islam to the world, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he raised his finger to the heavens and he said, Allahumma ashhad, O Allah, bear witness, O Allah, bear witness, O Allah, bear witness, I have indeed conveyed your message to them. I've conveyed your message, I did my job, I relieved myself of khumfa and I passed on the torch to the greatest nation that will ever exist on the face of the earth. The nation that will bring glory to the world. The nation that would bring the world out of dark ages. Who would bring advances in science and medicine and astronomy and physics and mathematics. Where is that ummah today, dear brothers and sisters? Where is that ummah? Where are those people who are kuntum khayru ummatan ukhrijat linnas? What happened to us? We need to go back to this. We need to remind ourselves of this. So that maybe, in our lifetime, we can see that again. He raised his fingers to the heavens and said, O Allah, I have indeed conveyed your message to them. And then, what did Allah say? Allah revealed a verse on this day. Allah decided to take this time, this place, this day, after this statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of all the time and places in history, Allah decided to take this day and say something. Allah revealed, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day I have perfected your religion for you. This day I have completed my favor upon you. And this day I have chosen for you Islam as your way of life. Brothers and sisters, our deen was completed on this day. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Allah said, this day I perfected your religion for you. How important was the statement of the Prophet ﷺ for us to continue to convey this message? It was so important that Allah decided to complete his religion with it. Allah decided to complete his entire religion to humanity upon the statement of the Prophet to us to continue to convey this message. This is why I do what I do. This is why I'm here today. Because someone did this job for me 13 years ago. And I have decided in my humble attempt of gratitude to my Creator to continue to do that for others until I cannot do it anymore. But that is not just for me. That is not just for the other shayukh and du'at in all over the world. That is for you. All of you. And for our guests It is for you to take consideration for yourself and of your life. Who am I? Why am I here? What does it all mean? Who is Muhammad really? Find out. This is why we're here. Forget about what the TV says. Forget about what the newspaper and magazines say. It's garbage. This is the real story of the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the real story. And I want to finish with this last dot. This very last dot. 9 months later, after this day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was very ill. And he was laying his head on the chest of the person whom he loved the most in this world, his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And she said he looked at the miswak or the toothbrush, signifying that he wanted it. She said, "Do you want it?" He said, "Yes." So she softened it with her own saliva and then he brushed his teeth. And the angel of death presented itself before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the angel of death, when it comes, it does not ask people what they want. When the angel of death comes, the angel of death comes and takes the soul. There is no remorse. There is no respite. There is no more time given to the individual. But the greatness of the man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that the angel of death came and had to ask permission to take the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angel gave him two choices, and no one is saying this discourse. The angel is telling the Prophet, you either have can continue to live in this life, you can overcome this illness, or you can choose the death and to be in the company of your Creator, the Lord Most High. And the Prophet ﷺ, after encouraging this ummah to salah, he said, "As-salah, as-salah, as-salah, don't forget to worship your Lord." He said, "I want the companionship, Rafiq al-Ala, I want the companionship of the one who is most high." He said, "I want to be in the company of my Creator." And he breathed his last breath in this life. And that was the saddest day for all of us. It is still the saddest day to me. The day that we lost our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the greatest companions lost it on that day. They were so distraught that even Umar radiallahu an, who was the epitome of manhood, which we will discuss in a further program, he was walking around in the masjid of the Prophet in Medina with a sword in his hand, saying, "Whoever says Muhammad is dead, I'll kill you myself." Until Abu Bakr, the Prophet's best friend, came to Umar and consoled him and said, "If you worship Muhammad, know that Muhammad is dead. But if you worship Allah, know that Allah is Al-Hayy. He is the one who lives without death." But there is a woman on this day that this story is really about, this point. Her name is Ayman. And if you don't know who Ayman is, you have to go way back in the seerah, in the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he lost his father before he was born and his mother died when he was six. His mother entrusted him to a woman after her death. Her name was Ayman. She took care of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as his mother for the rest of his life. And when he referred to her as Ummi, as Ummi, my mother. And he treated her like a mother. He gave her the same dignity and respect that Islam teaches us to give our mothers, that Jannah, paradise, is at the foot of our mothers. This is the real teachings of Islam. Paradise lies at the foot of your mother, who is a woman. When the Prophet ﷺ died, you would expect that a mother would grieve over her child. So Ayman began to cry. And she cried profusely, but when Abu Bakr and Umar saw her crying, they said to her, Ayman, why are you crying? Because what has been given to Muhammad in death is better than what Allah has ever given him in life. She said, I'm not crying because of his death. I'm not crying because of his death. The sadness that makes me cry is the fact that upon the death of my son Muhammad, the wahi, revelation from Allah, has come to an end. the communication between the Creator and His creation has stopped. Because Allah communicates to us through His prophets and messengers to humanity. And with the death of the final messenger, there will be no more communication between Allah and His creation. This is the real sadness of this day. And Abu Bakr and Umar understood what she said, and they began to cry with her. And this is a true sadness, dear brothers and sisters, that the communication between our Creator and us is severed. We will never hear directly from our Creator again until the day we stand before Him on the day of resurrection and give account for actions. That is truly sad. But Abu Bakr and Umar and the rest of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they understood something that we fail to realize. They understood something about this point that we fail to grasp. And that is that yes, maybe Allah has stopped speaking to His creation, but that does not mean that the creation has to stop hearing the words of the Creator. Why did Allah stop speaking to the creation? Because His speech was complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. Right here, in the most glorious and noble book from Allah, is the speech of the Creator, full of guidance and righteousness for humanity. This is the book wherein there is no doubt, and it is a guidance for those who fear the Creator. This is the speech of the Creator. They understood that the only way the creation would ever hear from the Creator again was that if we do the job that was left to us 9 months ago, convey this message to those that are not here. If we get out and tell the people about this book, if we get out and tell the people about Muhammad, about their Lord, if we do the job that was left to us, then the word of the Creator continues to live on among His creation. And they did it to perfection. This is why they were kuntum khayru ummatin ukhrijat linnas, because they did their job. Their job was to convey the message of Tawheed to the world. And they did it to the best example. What about us? What about us? What are we doing? We're spending our lives worrying about the paycheck at the end of the week, the big home, the nice cars, the fancy clothes. That's our concern. Our concern isn't whether the speech of the Creator is being conveyed to the creation, whether my neighbor knows about Allah, whether my best friend at school knows about Allah, my co-worker, the people who come in my store every day. Because that has not been our concern, we have been put into this condition where the world does not respect us, where the world does not give us the dignity and honor and respect that we deserve as a Muslim, because we're not doing our jobs. Allah doesn't respect us anymore. So He has taken away our honor. The honor that was given to us on the last sermon of the Prophet ﷺ has been taken from us because we have not been doing the job that brings the dignity. We need to wake up, brothers and sisters. If you say Muhammad ar-Rasulullah, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and you believe that, then you need to ask yourself, am I doing what He left me to do? Am I following in the footsteps of the greatest messenger ever walked the face of the earth? Am I going out and telling my friends and neighbors the truth about Islam, the truth about Muslims, the truth about the Quran, the truth about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I doing my job? Are you doing your job? Ask yourself that right now. And if you can admit to yourself that you're not doing your job, then what are you going to do about it? There are so many people that need our help. The world is in chaos. The world is spinning out of control with evil. We, as Muslims, are supposed to be the one who shows the world the right way. But if we're not even living the right way ourselves, and we're not doing the right thing ourselves, and we're not following in the footsteps of the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth, why do you think anyone would want to follow you? Why do you think people would want to follow you? No. If we decide to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the pure teachings of this beautiful religion of Islam, we will gain our honor back for the world. We'll gain our dignity back to the world. And dear Muslims, and dear non-Muslims, it is your duty to go and look and research for yourself who was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I guarantee you, you will not find anything different than what you have seen in this program. And if you come to the same conclusions that I have, that this is the greatest human being to walk the face of the earth, conveying the greatest message to humanity, which is to worship one God alone and to follow Him and obey Him, then you have found the teachings of Islam. And if you want to accept those teachings, find a Muslim in your area, go to your local mosque, or get in touch with me personally through my website, yushaemiz.com, through oneummatv.com, through whatever means you need to get in touch with a Muslim and tell them you want to enter into the greatest way of life that has ever existed. And remind us that we need to be doing our job of putting the world back into its place of dignity and honor through the religion of the one true God alone. I have been humbled to be with you, and I look forward to many more amazing programs just like this on One Ummah TV, a station dedicated to telling the truth about Islam and Muslims, to telling the truth about Islam, and to telling the truth about Muslims, even if it means telling the truth against our own selves of what we're not doing. And I look forward to seeing all of you next time, right here on One Ummah TV. أقول لك هذا حذر واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفره إنه الغفور الرحيم. I end by saying all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all exists. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon all of you.